Good morning, and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church Connection Sunday. I want to thank Joyce and Rhonda for the piano and flute, and for Dick Blosser, a member of our church choir, for his fine jazz arrangement. We're here today to give glory to God, to honor Jesus Christ, and to cause financial problems in Greenwood. There'll be less people at restaurants today, and we ask their forgiveness ahead of time, because you're all invited. We have food for 300. So do not go to the restaurants, and if I have to go do penance, if you'll let me know where to go, we'll be glad to take care of that. Take a moment of silence with me, and we'll stand for our call to worship. Let us stand before the Lord. As the friends of God, let us bless the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Paul wrote from prison, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all and through all and in all." Our procession hymn is number 185, "When Morning Gilds the Skies." Thank you. Please join me at the mutual blessing and common prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and the promise it holds. We have come to sing and to pray, to listen and to obey, to receive fresh hope and dream the future you have for this church. We are grateful for all who came before us, for Methodist circuit riders and faithful laity who followed Jesus Christ together as one people. We know we are not the disciples we ought to be, but we refuse to believe our best days are behind us. May your Holy Spirit come upon us with divine light and holy fire. And if you are seeking a people who need a fresh touch, it's us, O Lord. Speak to us one and all as we wait before you in silence. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I invite you to take out the insert in your bulletin and join in the praise songs. Come Now Is the Time to Worship, and the gospel song, Jesus Paid It All.
Chains and leopard spots, and bells.
Is my mic on? Years and years ago, back in the 70s and 80s, Ken and Bonnie sang at the Supper Club circuit up in Detroit. And they both ended up back in Greenwood, where their show is now on the road again. And I heard them several weeks ago, and I said, Ken, please ask Bonnie to come sing here at our Connection Service. So we're glad to welcome Ken and Bonnie.
I am his own.
one of our traditions of the early service is a little bit risky, and that's to take testimonies. And a testimony is some place that you want to give God glory because of some kindness, maybe an answered prayer. Maybe God spoke to you through Scripture. Maybe you got to minister to someone. Something from your recent life that shows the grace of Christ. And so Kathy's going to go about halfway back with one microphone. I'll have the other one. And who has a testimony today? Who has a brief word of witness to give glory to God? If you put up your hand, I'll come give you a microphone. Okay, Glenn, coming through, brother.
I just wanted to testify that yesterday our church helped a lady fix a roof. And it was just such a blessing to see God working and our people in our congregation helping and the lady we were helping work. And she had no air conditioning. And it was sort of touching to realize that, you know, we remember how it was like not to have air conditioning. And it really gave me a heart for wanting to help Annie get some air conditioning.
Well, Glenn has been working on several houses, and the possibility of us starting a year-round Salkehatchee project here is a new mission in our church. Who else has a testimony? Stick your hand up. Young, old, someone that has a word for Christ, okay? Give your name and speak into the microphone.
Good morning, I'm Howard. I've had a prayer for so many years. And as I look around the sanctuary, I see that prayer being answered by God. You just look around the sanctuary. We've lost so many of our old folks. They've gone on to be with God. But we've been very fortunate in our community that many others who are new to our church are here today with us. All I can say is praise God for answering our prayers.
Thank you. We are so happy here to have some of our young people from the Bowers Rogers home over to our left. And another testimony from Melissa.
Yes.
You got to stand, Melissa, you're going to testify.
Yes. Testimony I have that they had let us out at Fuji's and they called us back. So thank God for that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Is there one more? One more that somebody else that will give glory to God?
Hello, my name's John McCants. I attend Lander University. And I recently lost a friend of mine. He died of sickle cell anemia. And, you know, God was telling me really that I need to get my life together because I'm an alcoholic. So I realized I need to go to rehab and just get my life together because I want to be the best I can be for God. And I do miss my friend, but... I'm sorry, excuse me, but I'm going to try my best to keep on going and keep the faith. So just keep me in your prayers, and God bless. Amen.
Thank you. And we're on your team now, okay? I'm not mean, you know, we have a special Sunday school class here at Main Street that meets off campus every Sunday morning after early worship. We have a couple of AA meetings. And so right after our early service, we have a whole bunch of people that go with John and exit. So one of our Sunday school classes is off campus at the AA hut. And we're proud to claim that as an extension of our Sunday school. If you'll take your little white card and wave it at me. Come on, wave it at me. Okay. Now I want you to fill it out. We're not using registration pads today. We're asking you to put the names of anyone that came with you, your address, city, and zip. Best contact phone and email will be updating some of our database. And then whether you're a member, attend regularly, or would like to become a member, and that you'd like to receive our newsletter. So I want everyone in the building, you will help us greatly if you will fill out a card. And we'll pass that in with our offering. We are also taking a special offering today. In addition to your regular tithes and offering, we're taking a special missions offering that will be split halfway between our local food closet here every Thursday and our mission to Honduras. So if you want to give an offering beyond your regular offering, we ask you to use this special envelope. Our Old Testament lesson today is a choral reading of Psalm 84.
Psalm 84 is a psalm of trust and praise.
It expresses the radiant joy found in communing with the living God.
Hear now the word of the Lord.
How beautiful!
How lovely!
How beloved is
your dwelling place, O Lord of heavenly forces!
My soul longs,
my very being yearns.
I nearly faint with the desire
for my Lord's courtyards.
My heart and my body
will rejoice out loud to the living God.
Yes, the sparrow too has found a home there.
The swallow has found herself a nest where she can lay her young beside your altars, O Lord of heavenly forces, my King and my God.
Those who live in your house are truly happy.
They praise you constantly.
Those who put their strength in you are truly happy. Pilgrimage is in their hearts.
As they pass through the Baca Valley, they make it spring with water.
Yes, the early rain covers it with blessings.
Lord God of heavenly forces, hear my prayer. Listen closely, Jacob's God.
Look at our shield, God. Pay close attention to the face of your anointed one.
Better is a single day in your courtyards
than a thousand days anywhere else.
I would rather be a gatekeeper.
I would rather stand at the door.
I would rather scrub the floors in the house of my God
than be an honored guest in the palace of sin.
For the Lord God is a sun.
God enlightens.
And a shield.
God protects.
God is favor and glory.
God gives. God doesn't withhold good things
to those who walk with integrity. Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy.
Truly happy.
Truly happy.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It seems that among the truly happy, we have a vocal minority report somewhere. I want all the children to come down and join me for the children's time and sit right here in the center. So come on down, kids. Come on. Let's sit out here. Keep coming. Coming out from everywhere. Wow. Y'all can have a seat. Come on. I want to ask y'all a question. What is all this stuff up here? What is it? Donations, okay. What else is it? Stuff for people in Honduras. This is what missions looks like. These blankets are going to Honduras in October. All these school supplies and socks are going to Honduras in October with Miss Kathy, who's going down to work with an old friend to build a building. So your church is involved around the world. What's all this over here? Oatmeal, beans, instant. We've got lots of oatmeal. We've got lots of beans. Not a lot of variety, but a lot of food. Now, is this going to Honduras? Where will this go? The food pantry. We have a miracle here every week. Our food pantry empties on Thursday, and by the next Thursday, it's what? It's full again, like Jesus feeding the 5,000. So we have mission in Honduras that our children gave for Bible school, and our Bible school children are also involved in feeding between 30 and 50 hungry families every week. We've added something to our food closet. On Thursdays, we have a prayer team in the library. And everybody who receives food is asked to go receive prayer for healing and that they come to know Christ. So you're a church that's connected. You're connected around the world. You're connected to children in Honduras. And you're connected to hungry families right here in Greenwood. If you want to know what missions looks like, what your church is doing, this is just a little part of what God's people are doing across the street and around the world. So you can tell anybody, good things are happening at Main Street Church. Say that with me. Good things are happening at Main Street Church. Not the whole church. Good things are happening at Main Street Church. Now you guys pray with me. Dear Jesus, we thank you for coming to us and for sending us across the street and around the world. Amen. Okay, y'all can go back with your parents now or go with Miss Kathy. What do you think of a church in a cathedral that can do jazz, rock and roll, hymnody, and black gospel all in about 23 minutes? I'm now about to introduce a man who's everything I'm not. Tall, dark, and handsome. Reverend James Friday is my supervisor and the superintendent of Greenwood District, which means he has the tough job of looking over, encouraging, praying for all the churches of the Greenwood District, large and small. He's a native of the ruralville Cartersville community near Timmonsville. Went to France Marion University, finished Duke with an MDiv, has served appointments across our conference, and before coming to Greenwood, was for 4 years the superintendent of the Florence District. He's married to Deborah Clemens of Florence, and his wife Deborah's here with him. James, this is a historic pulpit. This church was built about 100 years ago when the Methodists wanted to make a statement. And we're here today for you to make a statement about our common faith in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the pulpit of Main Street United Methodist Church.
Prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare us to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. We'll be your living sanctuary. Our Father and our God, we pause now, O God, and pray that these words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And all the people of God said, amen and amen. Choir, you have sung my soul happy, and I am now peacock proud in the name of Jesus the Christ to be with you this morning as we share for a few moments from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 9th chapter, beginning at verse 51 through 62, and I ask those who are able to stand as we honor God as we read the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Jesus to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? And Jesus turned to them and said to them, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's life, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then Jesus said to another, follow me. And he says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another says, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid farewell to who all at my house. And Jesus said to him, no one who has put their hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let me just share again part of verse 59 and 61. And the Lord Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And also he said to another, Lord, I will follow you, but let me go and bid farewell to those who are at my house. Let me invite you to be a part of this sermon. If there's a neighbor nearby you, why don't you ask, are you going? Come on, you're going to help me, right? Amen. Are you going all the way with Jesus? Keep that in mind. Are you going all the way with Jesus? You heard Pastor Phil mention that I was raised in the rural part of Florence County, a little place called Cartersville, South Carolina. We was on the other side of the woods that told the other woods we was back behind the woods. And as a child growing up in the rural area of South Carolina, we could only catch one AM station. And every morning around 6 o'clock when it signed on, we would hear the Star Spangled Banner. And every evening at 6 o'clock it signed off. And we would hear Lift Every Voice and Sing. First, at 6 o'clock in the morning, we were reminded of the national anthem of these United States of America. And as an African American, we were reminded that God has brought us a mighty long way. We were called to lift every voice and sing, and to sing with harmonies of liberty. And to let our rejoicings rise as high as the listening skies. We were called by these songs to keep on marching towards a bright star of freedom. a song written by James Weldon Johnson as part of a celebration for the birthday of Abraham Lincoln. George Washington Carver had come to the high school where he was principal, and he wrote this poem that later became Lift Every Voice and Sing, known to many in our community as an anthem, a sacred song for the struggle of our people. I didn't realize until I got older that there were more verses to the song. But what he described in this song was a road and a path that sometimes was rocky and muddy and sometimes filled with blood and tears. A path and road that sometimes where the going got tough and the hills were hard to climb. Sometimes valleys that were wide and deep. And even though they were marching sometime with weary feet, they were called to continue to march toward the bright star of freedom, where they knew that the Spirit of the Lord sets us free from not only our sins, but from the bondage of those things that hold us. We too, my brothers and sisters who have heard the call of God on our lives, we are called to keep marching with Christ Jesus. We are called to keep on marching just as my ancestors and many others before them, when they heard about a God who loves us and a God who is able and willing to set us free. Bishop Ken Carter, in a meeting a few weeks ago, reminded us of the kind of God that we serve, the kind of God whose love and grace and mercy extends to all. And he reminded us, when God came down to Moses to send him to Egypt, he reminded us that God called Moses from a burning bush. And in Exodus 3, sometimes when you're in your leisure time or your Bible study, go back and look at Exodus 3, verse 7 and 8. It reminds us that God sees our struggles. God hears our cries and our prayers submitted to God. God knows our sorrows. And our God not only see our struggles and hear our cries and our prayers and know our sorrows, but God comes to us to save us and to deliver us. And then God guides us and directs us according to his word and his promises. For the Lord reminded Moses, I have seen my people struggle under the oppression of the Egyptians. I have heard their cries and their prayers, and I know their sorrows. My brothers and my sisters, the God that we serve, not just sit high and looks low, but comes low through Jesus Christ, a God who not only sees our struggles and hears our prayers, but a God who comes to us and stays with us and leads us and guides us according to his promises. So my brothers and my sisters, this morning we are called to keep on marching and go all the way with Jesus, because we too have heard an old, old story how a Savior came from glory and how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like you and me, for we all are sinners in need of God's grace. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's grace. So don't get it twisted, my brothers and sisters, thinking you are better than someone else. For we may be better at covering our sins than others. But Jesus reminded his disciples, everything done in the dark will be brought to light. And so my brothers and my sisters, when we've heard not only the story about Jesus, but when we heard about his groaning and his precious blood atoning, I don't know about you, but when I hear stories about what God is doing here at Main Street, how lives are being changed, people's lives are being healed, stories of God's grace and power moving among the people here and throughout Greenwood, my soul cries out, hallelujah, and I'm thankful to God for what God is doing. It's all right to praise God. It's all right to praise God. For when I think about the precious blood of Jesus to bring healing and cleansing power for our lives, when I hear about how he made the lame to walk and even the dumb to talk, and I've heard stories about how God has been healing folk right here in Main Street, not across the world somewhere, but there are those right here now can stand as a witness what God has been doing here in the last year or so. So you ought to be praising God and worshiping God. When I hear about how now blind eyes see, and blindness is not always physical, for so often we can be blinded to our own sin. But when I hear that there is a mansion prepared for me, it's not just a mansion off in heaven, but it says to me that God has room for all of us. But in my Father's house there are many mansions. In other words, God had a place for all of us at the table. If you remember when Jesus was there at Simon's house, he told the story about a wedding feast and how they invited people to come, and they gave excuse after excuse, and then he charged them to go out in the streets and the byways and compel them to come, for there is still room in the Father's house. And so when I think about what God is doing through this great church, how we are connecting not only to each other but to the community, and how I heard about the wonder-working power that God is utilizing through you, through the teaching and preaching of Pastor Phil and those who are present, how God has moved and touched ordinary people through the power of the Holy Word of God and the Holy Spirit, the power of God to move people like you and me to do extraordinary things because we've been touched by the Spirit of God. We don't need to be superheroes, but be available to God. As I ponder all that I've come to know about Jesus, as I ponder all that we have learned over the years, I still wonder why so many are not willing to go all the way with Jesus. Brother Jim pointed out this morning, we have all kinds of excuses. Well, it may be too cold in the church if the heat is out, or if the air is out, it's too hot. Or well, if it's raining like it's been raining and the storms are brewing, well, I just can't make. Or maybe we're mad with the previous pastor. Or you don't get a chance to sing your song. We make all kinds of excuses, so I wonder what is it that may be hindering us from going all the way with Jesus. I think two of the followers who volunteered to follow Jesus may give us some clues as to why we find it difficult. But I want you, if you got your Bibles, open your Bibles back and look here again, because all three of these would-be disciples of Jesus, they recognized Jesus and considered him as Lord. The first one says, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the second says, well, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And the third says, Lord, let me first go and bid farewell. See, all three recognize Jesus as Lord, which is, I think, is critical. When we think about following Jesus, we have to surrender ourselves and realize that Jesus Christ is Lord, not only of heaven, not only of the earth, and that beneath the earth, but Christ is Lord of all. I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus reminded him that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The one thing that I'm quite sure that many United Methodist pastors and their families realize this week, that oftentimes it takes a full commitment to follow Jesus. Pastor Phil and myself and others who are pastors, who have been pastors, realize that when we made a commitment to follow God through this church, that if the bishop wants to move either one of us tomorrow, we are called to move. For we made a commitment to this apostolic ministry that we'll go where sent. Now, we may not always be happy, but we made a promise to God to go where sent. So Jesus is reminding him to follow him. Sometimes means we may not have all the comforts that we want in life. To follow Jesus may not give us everything that we want and the way that we want it. But to say that Jesus is Lord, are we confessing with our mouth that Jesus Christ is truly Lord? Are we confessing that we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead and we will be saved? For as Paul writes, with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth one confession is made unto salvation. So are we making a confession that Jesus Christ is Lord? What do we really mean that Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives? Are we saying that we have fully given our lives to God? Is it a true confession of our faith in God through Jesus Christ? Are we saying we are fully confident that God will see us through whatever we're going through? Are we saying we now have a right relationship with God, and yet we are continuously, prayerfully working through this? Have we accepted and lived in the freedom that Christ gave us as he atoned for our sins on Calvary? Are we saying that we have given our whole life to our Father's will, and that now we rely on the Spirit of the Lord to lead us and guide us in all the ways that are pleasing to God? Are we saying that God's word and God's way shape our lives and our families, in our living and in our service and our witness? In other words, my brothers and sisters, are we really ready and willing to let go of everything to go all the way with Jesus? The Jesus who loves us all. The Jesus who identified with the poor and the weak and the humble and the least among us. Are we ready to let go of the creature's comforts of home and family and friends and finances to follow Jesus? Again, in your leisure and your Bible study time, take a look at Mark 10, when Jesus was approached by a young would-be follower and says, "Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And he's told Jesus about how he had kept the commands, he had honored his father and mother. And Jesus was, one thing you like. He says, "Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. And then come follow me and take up your cross." And he left sad because he had much possessions of riches. But oftentimes when we look at that text, I think he got confused because Jesus says, "Go and sell all that you have." And those merchants know you usually sell for a profit. You have more to give. But oftentimes we are so caught up by our possessions that we want to hold on to everything but God. Then Jesus posed a question to his disciples. How easy is it for a person with riches to enter the kingdom of heaven? And those words, it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a person with world riches to enter the kingdom of God. And then Peter and the disciples challenged him. Well, Lord, who can be saved? And Jesus' response, with man or humans, it is impossible. But with God, come on, somebody, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. Come on, say it again. With God, all things are possible. What may seem impossible for us, with God, all things are possible. With God. When you realize, if you read this entire ninth chapter, when Jesus began this journey, he sent his disciples out to preach the kingdom of God. He told them to travel light. Take no bag, no money, don't even take two shirts. And wherever house you come in, stay there until you leave. And if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet against them. Take nothing for your journey. But sometimes we are not willing to go all the way because we have too much baggage to travel the way Jesus calls for us to travel. Pastor, you know, as both of us serve at United Methodist Church, one year when we were moved to a place close, not too far from Greenwood, Deborah couldn't find a job. And we needed the money. And so I moved in and drove back and forth. And when Deborah finally got there, she realized that I had all my clothes in tote boxes. I didn't have anything in the dresser drawers. I had nice clear boxes. I knew where everything was. And she says, why do you have the clothes in tote boxes? I said, if the bishop calls tonight, I can load the truck up and be gone by tomorrow morning. We are called to travel light. And so often, we find it impossible, especially when we are called by God, to do things beyond our control. This journey is not easy. But as I said, with God, all things are possible. It's not easy, my brothers and my sisters. And the question, are we willing to leave everything? Home, family, your brothers and sisters, parents, and sometimes even children and spouses. Yes, I could have made a big fuss at Bishop, my wife can't get a job. And I tried that once. And the bishop said, this is still your appointment. But I realized that in the midst of God's grace, that the family and the home I had to leave behind, that God provided a home through the generosity of God's people. Grace extended by God's people who love God. I found brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers at every appointment I've had. And I've seen the grace of God move. It wasn't easy, but with God, all things are possible. For if you remember, Jesus says, all those who have left all these things for the gospel and for the kingdom of God, houses, siblings, parents, children, and property. You may find some persecutions, but you have these things a hundredfold now. And so often we're not willing to go all the way because we have to suffer some for the kingdom. We may lose a few things. So what are some things that we may need to let go to love like Jesus? What are some things we need to let go that we might love like Jesus? Yes, I know that Jesus says that all the commands hang on to to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. But I want you to remember that Jesus, in John's Gospel, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35, he says, I give you a new command. Love one another as I have loved you. Because when you realize that loving your neighbor as you love yourself, oftentimes isn't enough. Because we will just love those who love us or look like us. But when we love like Jesus, we receive everybody with the grace that God has extended to us. When we love like Jesus, we're willing to increase our family because the kingdom of God is among us. It's not always easy. But with God, all things are possible. For Jesus reminds us that sometimes we got to let go of our pride. Sometimes our prejudices. Sometimes our doubts. And sometimes even our riches and our biases of greed and possibly our secret sins. And we all have them. We all have them. Is the cost too high? What's the cost of holding on to all these things? To hold on to pride leads to destruction. Prejudice leads to injustice. Sin leads to death. Or better still, what's the cost of gaining the whole world and yet losing your soul? Yes, the cost is high, but the price was right, for God gave his son Jesus Christ to die for us, and we all been purchased with the price of blood, the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, given for you and for me. Yet I am still somewhat puzzled, Pastor, even knowing all these things, why everyone is not willing to go all the way with Jesus. And maybe these two also give us some clues. Let's listen again in on their conversation. Now, please remember now, they all said that Jesus is Lord. For they probably know something about who Jesus is. They probably know about some of the things he's done and what he's doing in their lives. And my brothers and my sisters, it only takes one touch of the Master, one encounter with Christ, for God to change our lives. When I heard the choir singing just a few minutes ago, my soul got happy. I felt like shouting up in here. Because I encountered Christ through the sung word of God, knowing that God never fails, and that God will be there in every day, in every hour of our lives. But when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. All it takes is one touch of Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth. But be warned, my brothers and sisters, Jesus said, everyone who says, Lord, Lord, won't enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those who do the will of his Father. We give a lot of lip service. It's the easiest thing to do. We say we're going to be faithful when we come and give our witness. But lip service is not enough. Jesus says, not only must we be hearers as well as James, but doers of God's word. For this word is the foundation of our faith. And listen to the second and third would-be followers of Jesus. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And the second says, Lord, let me first go and bid farewell to my family. And Jesus' response to each of them appears to be somewhat harsh and non-compassionate. Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, those who are spiritually dead, let them handle those kind of things. But you go and preach the kingdom of God. And to the second one, he says, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, you disqualify while you're looking too much in the past. The glory days. When Jesus calls us, he's calling for a radical commitment and loyalty. First, to the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, the reign of God in your hearts. That God is first and foremost in everything that you do. And yes, he's not saying you need to give your family up, but God has to be first. And God's righteousness. Have you made the kind of confession and repentance of your sins? Because Jesus reminds us there in Matthew 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be given unto you. It's a radical shift from what we've always done. He's calling us to a radical commitment of faith. We may say, yes, I believe. But belief is not enough. We walk by faith and not just by sight. Because we believe with our heart, but faith is the action of what we believe. In other words, our faith shall call forth a repentance. That we must repent of our sins and confess our sins to God. And our faith assures us that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faith helps us trust God with our whole heart. And as Proverbs 3:5-6 says, and lean not to our own understanding. And in all our ways, we acknowledge God, and not just in our good ways, but in our bad ways or in different ways, we acknowledge God. I know when I've gone through this time of the year, and I questioned some of the appointments the bishop and the cabinet made when I was out there taking appointments. And now I'm at the table helping making appointments. I question God. But I've learned to trust God. When I question God, I say, well, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? Lord, I don't have enough strength to take on another appointment right now. I made confession to God that I didn't have enough in the tank. And God has a miraculous way of strengthening us even in our weakest moments. It is a radical shift. Oftentimes it keeps us from following God. But I believe this text gives us a good hard clue as to why we find it so difficult to go all the way with God. And listen, we're in good company. All of us are in good company. Because this has been nagging human beings from the very beginning. It's the me first attitude. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Lord, let me first go and bid farewell. This me first attitude oftentimes keeps us from following Jesus. We want things our way and not God's way. Listen, Adam and Eve had a me first attitude. When they disobeyed God's word and it cost them living in paradise. Abraham, the father of our faith, had a me first attitude when he told a halfway lie and said that Sarah was his sister and not his wife. Almost got both of them killed. Moses. Me first attitude didn't allow him to get into the promised land because when God told him to speak to the rock, he struck it because he was angry with the people. Jacob and his mother had a me first attitude when he stole his own brother's birthright. And then he had to run for his life 20 years in exile because of a me first attitude. King Saul lost his kingship because of a me first attitude. Instead of him waiting on Samuel, he decided he would sacrifice the lamb himself. And even the great King David, who loved God with all of his heart, had a me first attitude when he thought that he was the King of Kings and took another man's wife. And then conspired and committed murder and tried to cover up his sin. But his sin brought death to his household and bloodshed. And that's not enough. Even James Friday had a me first attitude when I started this journey, Pastor. Many of you don't know, I was a truck driver 12 years before I answered the call to ministry. And when I answered the call, the United Methodist Church told me that I needed an undergrad degree as well as a master's of divinity if I wanted to be an ordained elder in this annual conference. I had neither. Me and my wife prayed for almost 2-3 years. And finally, when I approached my employer about working part-time so I can go back to school, begin this process, they told me full-time or no time. And that's why I thank God for a faithful wife. She says, well, we will make it. You do what God called you to do. And so she took on extra work in order for me to go back to school. And I worked part-time with my dad. But when things got rough, I began to think about going back on the road again. Working with my dad in the shop one day, and I said to Dad, feeling sorry for myself, I said, Daddy, I think that I'm about to go back on the road. He never looked up. He was steady working on the car. He's working on. I said, Daddy, you hear what I said? I think I got to go back to work because things are just too tight. Too tight. And his words have stayed with me to this moment. He never looked up. He says, no man who has put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He convicted me that I said I put my whole trust in God. But when things got tough, I was ready to turn around and turn away from God. Me first. But when I think about being a rural country boy, some of you may be old enough to realize when people plow with mules. I only had a small time of that. Thank you, Lord. But one thing they taught us, they said, find a place down near the woods and set your eye on that place. And when you put the plow in the ground, keep your eye on that mark that you set for the road. And as you plow towards the mark, you will plow a straight and narrow road. And some of us have taken our eyes off Jesus. But Paul said, keep your eye on the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And so when we keep our eyes on Jesus and forget those things that are behind us, Main Street, forget those things which are behind you and keep reaching forward to the things ahead. Press towards the mark of the high calling that God has called you to. Because the other thing about the plow, you break new ground. You break new ground for the seeding of the kingdom of God. Pray to us all, Pastor. Where he leads me. God wants to break some new ground here at Main Street. He's calling you to follow him even through the garden. Are you willing to go wherever he leads you? Remember, forget those things. Come on, choir. I'm ready. Give me some music. I'm ready. Forget those things that are behind you. I know sometimes people will try to keep you in bondage by reminding you of your sins and your past mistakes, but I want to remind you of the grace of God. That grace that goes before us, that grace that comes alongside of us. Can you hear Him calling you? But Jesus said, come unto me, all who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Can you hear Him calling you? Take up your cross now. Whatever your burdens are, take it up and bring it to the Lord. Follow Jesus. Keep your eye on the mark of the high calling of Jesus Christ. Is there one? Is there one who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in the pardoning of your sins? Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Because if you're ashamed of Christ in this adulterous generation, He says, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. Are you willing to go all the way with Jesus? Jesus is calling. And maybe if you're too ashamed now, just let Pastor Phil know after the service. He will walk with you and pray with you. Are some of the leaders here at this church, or maybe a friend who will be a prayer partner with you? Are you willing to go through the garden where your doubts are, Lord, can you let this cup pass from me? But realize, no, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Where He leads, will you really follow Him? I will follow where He leads me. I will follow. The choice is yours. With Him, with Him. Oh.
Our hearts and souls have been challenged to go with Jesus all the way. Our ushers are now ready to receive your tithes and offerings. Ushers, will you please come? offerings are presented, let us stand and give God praise. Please join me in the litany of renewal for the church. O God, our Father, the church for which Jesus came and gave his life and rose again is your creation and not ours. Open our eyes to the beauty of what you have done. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, O Lord, for all who came before us and prepared the way in their prayers, in their sacrifices, in their dreams and hopes, and in their conviction there would always be a church in this place to bear living witness to your mighty works as found in Holy Scripture. Lord, in your mercy. For the location of this congregation in the center of Greenwood, for our buildings and facilities, that they be used to glorify our God and touch the lives of people with the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Lord, in your mercy. That any wounds and sins of the past, any disappointments over pastors and leaders, any scandals, any controversies over money and priorities would be released and forgiven and buried in the deep sea of the forgotten, that we be not hindered in embracing with confidence the new vision that is set before us. Lord, in your mercy. That the Holy Spirit would have freedom to enliven us all with the truths of Scripture, with hearts warmed with love for God and one another, with the full range of gifts and a resolute hunger to seek God and work for the welfare of this our city. Lord, in your mercy. For those who have left this church for any reason, that they would be drawn back into the circle of fellowship and love and renew the keeping of their sacred promises. Lord, in your mercy. That we would learn from other churches that are thriving, and that whatever God does in our midst to give new life, we will gladly teach others. Lord, in your mercy. On the back of your song insert today is our sung version of the Lord's Prayer, and I invite you to pray singing that with me now. For those of you who like a little Texas two-step, if you will turn to number 470 and follow the lyrics of Victory in Jesus. When someone asks you on Monday what kind of church you went on Sunday, you say, well, it was Catholic and it was Baptist, and it was uptown and it was down home, and it was black and it was white.
Amen.
You know, I think it was Methodist.
It's Methodist variety.
Yes. Here's how we're going to end this glorious morning. You've worked hard to worship for an hour and a half, and I know you're tired. We're going to feed you a glorious feast. If you're in the building, it's already been paid for. Don't make us waste it. So my benediction will serve as the blessing, and I'm going to ask my wife, if she'll come take Reverend Friday and Deborah and take them on back. And then I'll be up here to pray with anyone who brought any need or broken heart with you today.
Pastor, let me just edit that a little bit. We will stay here and pray.
Okay.
With anybody. Okay. Who may need prayer. Amen?
Yes. We have two prayer stations, one with me and Lori, and one with James and Deborah. Now see, because he's my boss, he can do that. Did y'all see how humbly I obeyed? The full riches of the historic Christian faith are ours to celebrate and to plunder for the sake of this town and this generation. Take this blessing with you to your feast and to your afternoon and to your work and to your life. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.